On this edition of the Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our Recap YouTube channel and available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcasts, Gordon Wittenmeyer and I are joined by Todd Rosiak, beat writer on the Milwaukee Brewers beat, Derek Gould, the beat writer on the St. Louis Cardinals beat. We get some predictions. We even talk a little Scott Boras. Welcome into another edition of our Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our Recap YouTube channel and available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcasts. With my partner, Gordon Wittenmeyer, I'm David Kaplan. We're going to talk to Derek Gould from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, get the latest on the Cardinals. We'll also talk to Todd Rosiak, who covers the Brewers in Milwaukee. You guys are in Arizona, you and Todd. Derek's down in Florida with those Cardinals. But, Gordon, let's start talking about our Cubs. You've also seen the Reds play. And I just don't predict greatness for the Pirates, so we're going to leave them to the side for a little bit. Let's talk about the Cubs first. So far, they have been blessed with very good health this spring, with the exception of Jameson Taillon having what they're calling a minor back injury. And I know Patrick Wisdom's been banged up a little bit, but their main guys.
And Madrigal too, right?
Madrigal's been banged up. He's always banged up. But their main guys, the Horners and the Swansons and the Suzukis and the Bellingers and the Haps, look like at this point they should be ready to go next Thursday night when they play in Texas. So from what you've seen, and you've seen a bunch of the teams out there, what do you think of how the Cubs have come through the spring?
I think they've come through great. You're right. Taillon is a big deal only because of what that does to the back two spots of your rotation instead of just one. So you got Smiley and Assad and Jordan Wicks and Hayden Wisniewski kind of jumbled in that mix at the end. That's not ideal. That's not the greatest depth in the world. Taillon being healthy and coming back and pitching like he has most of his career. I think I just almost got nailed by a baseball. I better keep my head on a swivel here. But that's a big deal. That was going to be what created depth and their best chance to win the division. That said, if Steele stays healthy and Imanoglu's as good as he has this spring, and Hendricks kind of comes back and is who he has been roughly, they should be okay. Because as you said, all the key guys in the lineup appear to be good now.
Okay, Jordan Montgomery is still sitting out there. Blake Snell's now a Giant. The head of the Giants, Farhan Zaidi, said today, "I deserve the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I did three deals with Scott Boras this winter." Ha, ha, ha. He was kidding. But there is
You know what? That's not funny if you're a player. I mean, there's a lot of money at stake here, and the players are the ones that put their asses on the line in this game. So, for the sake of the players, and that's kind of offensive, actually.
Yeah, I think he was kidding, but
I know he was kidding, but they've been drawing a pretty hard line, and there's some stuff going on in the union right now because of some of that stuff, and what boils down to collusion-like activity, even if you call it algorithms, even if you call it whatever you want to call it, but. It hasn't been good for the players. So for an executive to be joking about stuff like that, I think is bad form.
All right. We are going to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals, because last year was a great year if you were a Cub fan, because the Cardinals were at the bottom of the standings. Derek Gould has been on that beat for a long time. Great dude from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, stlouistoday.com. Derek, thank you for taking time to join us. How much better do the Cardinals feel as they get ready to break camp this year than what last year turned out to be?
I mean, they feel a lot better. A lot of that has to do with the standings are 0-0 right now. So they've had a lot of time to sit with the ulcer of a 91 loss last place season. So they feel a lot better. They feel unencumbered. They feel loose. They feel fresh. You know, whether they should feel that way, that's up for debate. You know, a lot of concerns they had last season, a inconsistent jostle around outfield, a rotation that had to deal with injuries and inefficiency and ineffectiveness. All of those things are also greeting them at the start of this year, right down to what they thought last year was a tough start for them because their schedule was so grueling. Well, guess what? 2024 is even worse. So they just don't have the jaunt over to London to add in. So, it, you know, they feel better. They feel better because they haven't had to play yet. They feel revved up. There's been a lot of urgency or frustration, or let's say pent up wanting to get past last year here. They're going to finally have games to do it. But some of the same problems still exist here.
Hey, Derek, one, what's the status of Sonny Gray going in? And do you agree with my contention that if the Cardinals are going to be good this year, he is the single biggest reason why?
I do agree with that. I think that, you know, he's the one that is the hardest to replace. He's the one that is the expected the most from. He's the guy who has the standout ability to lead a rotation, to kind of become that true bona fide kind of number one, the Friday night starter in college or the game one starter for the playoffs, whatever you want to call him. He's got that upside, but he's got to be there. His status right now is he's coming back from a hamstring injury, a slight tear there. He's pitching. Big step coming up here in the near future where he is going to throw a live batting practice that'll be closer to game-like. There might be fielders out there, in other words. Might be some situations that they run through, but it'll be a controlled setting. Then he could get in a game out there in Arizona where he would actually make a Cactus League start. And then they'll see if he can start either in San Diego or the home opener. Somewhere in there is their hope.
Cactus, that would be against the Cubs, wouldn't it?
It would be against the Cubs. Yeah, the Cardinals are making a Cactus cameo against the rival. They're taking the rivalry. They took it overseas last year. They're taking it to the desert this year.
How was that, Monday and Tuesday?
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday, yeah.
Derek, looking at where the Cardinals are, I saw some comments from Nolan Arenado who said, boy, you know, young guys just don't want to talk baseball the way I grew up playing. He said, I got to get used to it, but they just do their deal and then go home. Have you noticed a difference, younger players to grizzled veterans like Nolan, or when you had Yadi Molina, guys like that, Goldschmidt?
I think it's player by player. I don't see some like grand, you know, overreaching truth there that's based on generation. Brendan Donovan likes talking a lot of baseball. He'll sit and talk baseball. He wandered around the clubhouse just the other day, showing the new glove that he got to anybody who wanted to talk about it. And, he'll talk positioning, he'll talk pitching. Sonny Gray will talk pitching with a lot of folks. I mean, he'll pull people aside. He's got a lot of opinions on pitching, and he'll share those with players. But again, he's in his 30s, so I don't know if he can. Lars Nootbaar, he's really close with Nolan Arenado, and they talk hitting all the time. So, I don't know. You know, it's a question that has come up a few times around camp this year, this sense of, like, how many members of the team know the Cardinals' history? Like, you know, how many of them would be able to tell how many World Series championship the club has? You know, some of that has to do with just the passage of time. Some of that has to do with, you know, to be honest, the people that are missing from here that have passed in recent years. You know, you don't have Bob Gibson and Lou Brock and Red Shaneedes here. You know, me personally, I don't have Rick Hummel here. It was my first spring covering it without him. Some of these folks who have been the living, breathing history of this organization are not here, and so they're not around to talk about it. So that's been a topic of conversation in that sense. But I don't know. I mean, some of these young guys, they gather around the table and they talk baseball. They're not talking, you know, they're not talking TikTok. They're talking baseball. They're not talking Harry Potter all the time. Sometimes they are, but not all the time. But they're talking baseball. You know, there are kids. There are some of the kids, Sonny Gray's kids, collect baseball cards and will strike up conversations with folks about their baseball cards or, you know, things like that. So I don't know. You know, I think Nolan was talking about I don't know. I was there when he was talking about it, and he offered some qualifiers that maybe didn't get into the quotes too much. One of them was that maybe it was on him to start those conversations with the younger players. Mm-hmm. You know, he at one point in time said, look, I know I'm a veteran player, so maybe I need to do that more. I don't know how much of that got broadcast, that he kind of added that at the end. So there was some self-awareness there too that he brought up. You know, we'll see. I think it's there. But you mentioned this at the beginning that like I've been on the beat for a while. This is my 20th spring. And, you know, I mean, look, not in those 20 years do I remember people kicking it in the clubhouse after a game, talking baseball over a six pack like I heard they used to do. So, I mean, we can say that like that's gone, but it's been gone for a while.
I remember in the 90s talking to guys about that on some of the teams I covered.
Yeah.
That guys weren't doing that anymore. So
yeah, I did that with Rod Beck and Mark Grace and guys like that. Kevin Tappany. It was a different era, man.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a different time when we used to take trains too. Boy, I remember those days of
straw hat
train.
Straw hat.
Yeah, I have a straw hat that I wore at Wrigley that was like a giveaway from Pittsburgh. I brought it with me, tucked in over the, you know, the P of the Pittsburgh Pirates really made a nice little tag if I put RESS. So it just said press. Press.
Yeah. Nice,
Derek. Nice. What concerns you about your team? If you look at it, you go, that better get fixed. And what do you look at and go, that's a strength?
I mean, it's the starting rotation. It's not the answer to your first question. You asked me last year, I would have said the same thing, only I would have said their innings are a huge issue. You know, last year it just was so apparent that they were, you know, that they were trying to roll Yahtzee on innings. And, you know, when it didn't happen, what happened was they finished in last place and lost 91 games. And had one of the 10 worst seasons in Cardinal history, you know, and put themselves in this spot. This year, it's just like, okay, they have innings, and that's a really good place to begin, but do they have excellence? Do they have day in, day out? I mean, they just have to crank out the quality starts. Can they do that? And I think that's where this is going to be decided. If their rotation...
Well, I mean, but do they actually have the innings? I mean, because we saw Lance Lynn struggle in Chicago last year for long stretches.
Yeah, they have the innings. Yeah, I think so. Right. I think they have the innings.
I mean, if you want to leave them out there to roast.
Right, they will. Yeah, they will. But that's my point is like they'll have innings. It's what do those innings look like? They have some kind of stability there because they can throw a Lance Lynn out there and say, hey, man, we need 7 from you today. Cool. I'll go out there and give you 7. They might score 5. They might score 6, but I'll give you 7, which helps. I mean, that it helps so much, but is that a win? Well, no, it's probably not, but it helps. It helps you win later as opposed to constantly chasing innings, which they spent all last year doing. If you ask for a strength, I mean, the lineup should be a strength. There is no way that should not be the best lineup in the division. It should be like anything less. The Cardinal fans should expect a far superb lineup. I mean, when you look
best
at the ability
lineup in the division, Derek,
it has to be. They have
look
to
at the
that way.
Well, I mean, look at the corners. You start with those corners. That's a pretty good place to start.
Well, and also you look at the left-handed bats, right? Okay, so you got Brendan Donovan, who could be a 360 on-base percentage. You got Lars Nootbaar, who could be the same with an 850 OPS. Then you bring in Nolan Gorman, who could hit 30-plus home runs. That should be the expectation. And then Jordan Walker, who could hit 20-plus home runs, is batting 7th, and you might have a speedster in either Mason Wynn or Victor Scott coming in at 9th, and all of a sudden you have some disruption there if they can get on base. There's just no way that
you haven't even mentioned Contreras.
Right, Wilson batting 5th, who had one of the best second halves of his career last year. You know, and then Jordan Walker, or who I didn't mention, but Jordan Walker in there too, and he's batting down ballot to kind of reset everything. So I'm saying that like they have the makings there with OBP at the top, OPS through the middle, slug in Gorman, slug in Contreras compared to catchers. You know, they have the makings of a real long and real difficult lineup for an opposing pitcher. And if they settle for anything less, they should have high hopes for where this lineup ranks within the league, really.
Before who's winning the division? Go ahead. I want to know who's winning the division.
Well, I always follow the pitching. I mean, I think we've talked about this, Gordo, that I always follow the pitching and the pitching depth because, you know, 162, you got to crank it out. I mean, the Cardinals have that. The Cardinals have the pitching depth. I don't know what the quality will be, but also this division ain't all that great, so I don't know what quality is necessary. So I'm going to go with the depth. I think the Reds are overlooked a little bit at your peril. I see people picking the Cubs. I know people will pick the Cardinals because of the same reason that I think I did in our paper.
That's a lot of games to make up, man.
What do you mean?
Well, in terms of going from where the team was last year in last place in that record to the jump that it would be, I don't know that they improvements for that jump.
Well, I mean, they added three starters. That's a really good place to make.
They added one starter. Game. The other two guys I thought were depth until they didn't get anybody else. And
that's either fair.
Your three?
That's fair. I mean, like, look, I think you have a great point. I am not going to. I don't know where we get, you know, when we're talking about like the best teams in the National League, I don't know how far we get before we mention a National League Central team.
Right.
But I know it's a long way. Hey. You know, when you talk about like the best rotation in the division, you could probably find four of them in the NL West that are better. So I feel like when we say like, well, who's going to win the NL Central? It's like, well, all right, great. But are they going to be a factor in the NL? I don't know. That's a better conversation.
All right. Yeah. Todd Rosiak is with us from Milwaukee. Derek, we know you got to get out to the field, and we look forward to seeing you when you get to Chicago. Thanks for the knowledge on the Cardinals.
Thanks, Derek. See you guys. Hi, Todd.
What's up, Derek?
See you Monday.
All right. Yep. See you Monday. See you out there in Arizona.
All right. Coming out to the big leagues, Derek. All right, Todd, thanks for taking some time for us. I want to ask you a question before we start talking about the Brewers. Gordon, do not give him your opinion on this. Farhan Zaidi opened his press conference today at spring training after getting Blake Snell done and said, I called the White House. I want to see if I qualify for a Presidential Medal of Freedom honor for negotiating three deals with Scott Boras this winter and spring. What do you think of that quote?
That's awesome. Gordon got a little taste of this being in the office with Pat Murphy this spring. Going from Craig Counsell to Pat Murphy. I don't know if I'd put Pat quite on that level yet, but he's had some good zingers too. So that's good. That's really good.
Gordon was mad at
Well, I just think it's a bad look. I mean, it's a shot at players. Players are already kind of taking it in the ass from owners, certainly this free agency period. There's a lot of talk about collusion. There's a lot of money at stake. There's players that don't have jobs, and there's players that won't have jobs that were in the free agent market that thought they would. I just think that that's a bad look, and you know, for it to come from an executive in this climate, I think he should have just stayed quiet on that. That's not funny.
Yeah, from that standpoint, I would say yes. I guess I didn't dive into it as deeply as that. I was just kind of going surface level. Good zinger, but yeah, you do have a point, Gordon, on that. Definitely a talking point. Definitely a story that's been bubbling here over the course of the spring. So I can see both sides of that.
Let's talk about your team because stunning news in the offseason. Craig Counsell is the manager of the Chicago Cubs. First of all, how have things changed in the camp? And what is the fan base still irate with Counsell for doing that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll start with that one first. That's never going to change. That's never going to go away. Every time the Brewers play the Cubs now, it's going to be ratcheted up about 100 degrees in terms of the temperature. The fans cannot wait for the Cubs to be in Milwaukee. Counsell's going to get absolutely lambasted. You know, how quickly they forget, but it is what it is. You know, he took the money, good for him, but he's got to live with the ramifications of that. And a good portion of that is kind of torching your legacy a little bit in terms of Brewers fans' eyes. So That's a few months away, though. In terms of camp this year, it's been interesting. You know, definitely, I would say a different tone. Murph is definitely a different cat in that respect. He's much more verbal, much more loosey-goosey, I guess you could say. The one thing I really noticed sitting in that office with him each morning and just kind of watching him walk around the field was, you know, just that he's really relishing this opportunity, you know, after 8 years of being, you know, Craig Counsell's confidant, his consigliere, you know, now he kind of becomes the boss and is in that big chair. And I really think he's relishing that opportunity. Now, you know, once the games start counting for real, we're going to see the real Pat Murphy come out. And when he's in the midst of a 6-game losing streak or something like that, it could be interesting. But so far, so good. And for our purposes and dealing with him on an everyday basis, it's been refreshing and a nice change for sure.
Hey, Todd, you guys on the field traded away Corbin Burns. That was the big departure from the division, really, in the offseason, with all due respect to Joey Votto. And people have just written off the Brewers around baseball. I talked to some of the guys in the clubhouse. You alluded to me being over there that day. And they say, yeah, people always write us off. They think they're going to be okay, but why should we think they will be? And I'll just throw this out there. We know Freddie Peralta's still there. Do you think he's the best starter in the division because the Athletics says he is?
I'll start again with the last question first. And if he's not the best, I would put him up there in the discussion. Certainly, this is a guy who's in the prime of his career physically, coming off a tremendous year. And a guy that I think is really embracing after several years of kind of serving as the understudy to Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns, stepping into that ace role. He's a guy that's tremendously serious about his conditioning. He's learned a ton over the last few years, matured. You know, I think health is going to always be the question. Obviously, you can say that about any pitcher, but especially Freddie. If he's able to stay healthy, I definitely think he's going to be in the conversation for Cy Young balloting when the season's all said and done. And then just in terms of the team in general, you know, they're going to be doing it a different way this year. You know, the starting pitching obviously was always the strength of the Brewers for the past several seasons. I would certainly make it the weak point of this team right now, Freddie Peralta aside. They're going to have to win it a different way. They're going to have to win with the bullpen, which obviously has taken a big hit already without Devin Williams. Those stress fractures in his back are going to sideline him for, you know, upwards of 3 months, which is a huge blow. You know, they've still got some really good arms in that bullpen. They've got a much more multifaceted offense. They've got some more power with Rhys Hoskins and Gary Sanchez now. So I think they're going to have the ability to win more games offensively. And then defensively, that's just something that has not changed for the Brewers over the course of the last few years. They're going to be really strong defensively at most positions, and that will help out the pitching as well. So I caught the tail end of that discussion with Derek just kind of about the Central in general. And, you know, it'll be a competitive division for sure. I think everybody's kind of in the mix right now. Even the Pirates have, you know, made some moves to make themselves more competitive. You know, I think the Brewers probably will be better than people expect, but how much better? I don't know. I'll put it out there. I predicted them 82-80 a couple days ago for our season preview. We'll see how that shakes out. I feel pretty good about it right now, though.
That puts them in the race, man.
Yeah,
likelihood.
Who do you have winning it?
You know, funny you should ask that. I honestly didn't really look that hard into it. I think I would go probably the Reds, just based off of, again, the physical talent, the fact that they're, I would think that, you know, Gordon, of course, you can speak to this more so than me, but I've got to think that camp is extremely hungry after the way last season ended for them and they kind of petered out there. You know, a bunch of young guys going through it for the first time by and large. You know, I would think that they're hungry to win it, and they went out and they addressed some big needs that they had in the offseason, you know, the starting pitching. You know, a couple positions they shored up. I know they've had at least one significant injury this spring already, but to me,
we found out about another one today.
Who's that, Gordon?
Matt McClain had an MRI on his left shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder, from a diving play in practice the other day, and they found something in there. They're not saying exactly what it is yet. It sounds like some kind of tear. Surgery is a possibility. On the other hand, they're also talking about there might be some aggressive treatment options, so they haven't ruled out opening day. I suspect he'll at least start on the IL.
Yeah, interesting. Garrett Mitchell, Brewers outfielder, had a similar scenario without knowing the details of the injury. Right-handed thrower, he tore up his left shoulder sliding into a base and missed most of the season. Now, again, I'm not saying that's going to happen to McClain, but obviously you'd rather have it in a non-throwing shoulder for a fielder, but at the same time, shoulders are definitely nothing to mess with.
Yeah, and it messes with your hitting.
Yeah.
In terms of the rivalry, I have a home in Wisconsin, so I'm up there all the time. I wear my Cubs gear around at the farmer's market or this little bar down the street, and as soon as I walk in, one of these guys got to be here with the Cubs gear on. Now that Council's our guy, I got to think this rivalry is just going to go to another level, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's really – from a selfish standpoint, Gordon, again, you can speak to this for all the games that you covered as well. Those games are I always hated them just because of just all the sideshow and all the craziness that would go on in the stands and whatever else. Now ratchet that up by about 100 times, and that's what these games are going to be from the Brewers' perspective. You know, Brewers fans were always up in arms anyway before Council defected, just over the standpoint of, you know, Cubs fans basically taking over American Family Field, and half the ballpark is filled with Cubs fans. I know the Brewers have tried some other ways of trying to funnel more of those tickets to Brewer fans this year. But, you know, the vitriol, I guess, is the word that I would use to describe what Brewers fans feel toward Craig Council is going to be unmatched. And I get it. I understand, you know, like if Craig Council had gone to the Mets, if Craig Council had gone to the Guardians or something, okay, well, you know, it sucks to lose our manager, but, you know, at least he's not going to our rival. You know, for him to go to the Cubs of all places, that's just like a stake into the heart of every Brewers fan, and he will never, ever, ever be forgiven on this side of the border. I can tell you that, and it's going to definitely add just another angle to what's already a really bitter rivalry.
Hey, Todd, wait.
let me ask you a baseball related question to that. So Council comes over, he gets that huge contract, and everybody's talking about, oh, he's so good with young players. And they're saying he's so good with the bullpen. How much of that was Josh Hader and Devin Williams?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, obviously, when you've got two of the best in the game, it's going to make me look smart running that bullpen, right? But he was still able to press buttons and do things. You know, he really was on the cutting edge, the cusp of the bullpenning, you know, craze that kind of hit baseball in 2018, 2019. That's how they did what they did those 2 years. They did not have really good starting pitching, and they were able to press the right buttons. They were able to acquire the right guys to fill in those gaps before getting to Devin Williams and Josh Hader. You know, I'm not quite sure on the talent that he has with the Cubs at this point, but he's a guy.
I don't think he is either.
Yeah. I think he's a guy that's certainly proven adept at getting the most out of the talent that he has and utilizing those guys in different situations. And the other big part of that is him convincing guys to accept roles. You know, he's not you ask him these questions, you know, is this guy a setup guy? Is this guy your long guy? He will never say that. He calls all his pitchers outgetters. And for some reason, some way, he's able to get all those guys to buy into that mentality. And yes, he's going to have probably his designated closer. He won't call him that. But by and large, most of those guys need to be ready to pitch in pretty much any situation. Keeps everybody on their toes, and it keeps everybody involved. And it worked out well in Milwaukee. I would certainly expect it to be the same in Chicago, providing he's got the talent.
Todd, thank you for all the knowledge. We look forward to seeing you when these two teams tangle, my man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, guys. Good seeing you as always. Thanks for having me on.
You too.
See you down the road, Todd. Thanks.
All right.
All right. That is the Brewers, the Cardinals. We know the Reds have injury
problems. What about the Reds? What about the Reds? I'll tell you what, Cap. Let me just say this. There were seven legitimate candidates for the Reds rotation coming in. Two of those guys are going to open on the IL. But they're basically intact. Basically, their rotation is intact opening the season. And there might not be a Freddy Peralta or a Justin Steele or a Sonny Gray at the top. They got Frankie Montas going opening day. They actually might go five deep more than anybody in the division, which, if that's true, is necessary right now. It's necessary like we didn't think it would be when spring training started, because TJ Friedl, their leadoff hitter and center fielder, has a broken wrist. He'll miss maybe the first month or two. And then I already said about Matt McClain. So we'll see how this plays out, man. It is a crazy ass division as we look at it right now.
It is. We'll see how it goes. Gordon, have a great rest of your day, my man.
You too, Cap.
All right. We'll talk next week and we'll give our season predictions, MVPs, manager of the year, champs. Oh, yeah. Division champion. So we'll have all that next week for you. Gordon, enjoy the warm weather out there. It's cold here. It's 36.
I'll enjoy it for both of us.
Thank you. For Gordon Wittenmeyer, for Todd, for Derek, for our great crew, I'm David Kaplan. This has been another edition of the Cubs Recap Podcast. It is a presentation of our Recap YouTube channel and available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcast. Baseball is back, baby. See ya.